Okay. Well, you know, it's always a joy to sing hymns, especially hymns that has great significance. And I always enjoy them because they are written out of challenges of life, written out of faith, written out of having a higher purpose and perspective of life. I really appreciate how Fanny Crosby wrote that song in the midst of the challenges that she had to go through in having not enough to live, but yet being provided by God. And, you know, those are wonderful examples. You know, for those of you who are new, to me, time of exaltation is always being able to see how examples, and many, many wonderful examples of faith for us to learn from, for us to gain encouragement, and to be able to lift our hearts to greater faith. And I hope that is something that you enjoyed. Appreciate what was shared during the worship. And, you know, having to face all kinds of challenges, whether it's work, whether it's at home, whether there are new phases in life, you know, faith plays a very significant role. And if we understand what faith is all about, I think we will pay attention to faith. We will give all the attention to growing that faith. I think we all give a lot of time and focus in many aspects of our life, our studies, our work, our family life, concerns, and so on and so forth. But what about faith? Do we give enough attention to growing our faith? And oftentimes, sadly, we don't. And I hope that you would really seek to develop this faith far more as what we should. Now, just a quick interaction before we take up the Lord's Word. On the 21st of May is Visakh Day, right? Don't think any of you celebrate Visakh Day, right? We are considering another outing. This is a bit more relaxed, okay? I mean, the last time was quite heavy on the culture aspect, educational, which is good. But this one is really more fellowship. We are planning to possibly look at going to Tiong Bahru and visit all the cafes there. And along the way, have some education, yeah. Something like that. So, just to let you know, before you make any plans, but we will confirm this in time. But we are exploring this possibility. So just to get you excited, and we will give you more information along the way. Okay? Okay, let's take up the Lord's Word. And last week we were looking at how, you know, whether it is perspective, whether it is looking at our lives, you know, how we need to see faith and looking at ourselves, that we are really more pilgrims and strangers, and that our greater focus really is beyond this life, to a heavenly country. And we don't want to be so caught up with life on this earth. I mean, it is necessary, yes. But yet at the same time, we want to go beyond. Okay? Now, along the way, as we see, whether it is the example of Abraham, for those of you who are new, we are studying the book of Hebrews, and now we are in chapter 11. And chapter 11 is really a hall of fame of what faith is. You know, there are many, many wonderful examples of people or heroes in the Old Testament that displayed faith. And, you know, they are human. They had their own fair share of struggles and difficulties. But yet, at the same time, they were commended for their faith because they were able to exercise their faith and grow their faith. And face the kind of challenges that they had to go through. So we look at Noah, we look at Abraham, we look at Sarah, we look at collectively how they were able to exercise faith. Now today we're going to end up with the story, end with Abraham's life. And one of the things that we will have to understand about faith is that faith will have to be tested. Okay? And the test of life is something that we want to appreciate and to understand. And you will see in the scriptures, and this is something that God would seek to do, is that it's actually a very standard thing. Okay? It's standard practice for God for testing to be part of our lives. I mean, we have many teachers in our midst, and a test, you know, is something that they do. I mean, they have to give to the students, right? There's no school or class or student that is free of tests. Is that right? It's a standard thing. Why? It's necessary to test what they know. I mean, what do they understand? If they have zero knowledge, then it will come out in the test, because they will just draw pictures and whatever else that that comes along the way. But, you know, it is standard. Life must be filled with, you know, tests, so that we will be able to understand what our faith really is, or where our faith is. Okay, so it is something that we need to appreciate. You know, to say that, you know, I hope that our life will not have any tests at all, it is wishful thinking. It's as wishful as a student hoping that the teacher will not give a test. Right, Lenya, you are a teacher, you, with gleeful eyes, you know, you give your tests so that they would suffer and be tortured, and you were tortured by... I'm so sorry about that, but you have to learn somehow as well. So, yeah, definitely. So it's payback, right? Now you give to your students. Yeah, and that's the reality of a student. That's the reality of a Christian. That we all need to be tested in our faith. If not, you wouldn't know where you are. And it's important to look at this whole idea of testing. Now, let's look at Hebrews 11. And in verse 17, it says, "By faith, Abraham, when he was tested." Okay? Now, let's try and understand this idea of testing, first of all. We want to understand from the standpoint that, first of all, we have God, and God seeks to test. God tested Israel, right from the time when they left Egypt into the wilderness, and He said to them that He sought to test them, concerning whether they would humble themselves. I'm telling you to Deuteronomy 8. Okay, this is just to give you a glimpse as to why God needed to test Israel. And in Deuteronomy 8, we catch a glimpse of this. In verse 2, it says, "And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to, first of all, humble you." We all need humbling in life. Okay, because oftentimes as humans, we are filled with pride. Right? And test you. Secondly, to know what was in your heart. What is truly in your heart? You know, that's the test, to examine your heart. What is in your heart? What is your life filled, I mean, your heart filled with? So the key thing about faith and testing is, what is in your heart? So humility. Secondly, what is in your heart? And then, thirdly, to know whether you would keep His commandments or not. Whether you will be obedient. Whether you will heed His word. You know, that's something for us to at least to understand from God's standpoint. That's why He sought to test Israel. Okay? So we see how God tests even the Lord Jesus. He will test His disciples. Okay? Then, at the same time, we also have life. Right? Life will test us. Sometimes along the way, we don't learn the lessons of life. We don't learn lessons that we should be learning concerning, you know, whether from the scriptures, And sometimes we choose to go our own way. And life is a wonderful way of teaching. And because the testings of life would actually determine and to show us that really, you know, we are not all that great, we are not all that strong. And of course, there is also Satan that will test us. Okay? So all these different ways in which we would be tested. And this standard, this is something, I mean, the Lord Jesus, He also had to be tested by Satan. Right? And He had to go through that wilderness experience. So, we have to come to an understanding that this is reality. There will be testings from God. There will be the afflictions of life that will bring about, you know, how do we respond to the afflictions of life? Testings. Okay? You know, one of the passages that I really appreciate is 1 Peter. And just to connect a little bit from last week's lesson, and in 1 Peter chapter 1, we read. Verse 1, he says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus, to the pilgrims of the diaspora, the dispersion, and, okay, and how they will have to go through various trials. So in verse 6, in this you rejoice, greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith may be much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire. You know, we have to go through the testing of fire. Life is tough. God made or allowed life to be tough. You know, don't wish for a life of ease and hope that life will be a bed of roses and so on and so forth. It's not. You better believe it. You enter into the working world, you discover, you know, it's tough, it's difficult, you face all kinds of realities. Expect life to be tough. Because God has allowed life to be tough, to test us, to test our mental. How strong we really are. And that's something that Abraham will have to face up to. How strong is his faith? How strong is your faith? And that's something for us to think about. Okay? Now, let's look at Abraham. Now, very quickly, let's turn to Genesis 22. And let's look at, you know, we've been tracing a little bit about Abraham. And there were struggles, there were difficulties, you know, he was, you know, but along the way, he learned a bit more about faith. When you come to Genesis 22, there is a greater sense of understanding concerning what his faith is already. And then there came this testing. Okay, so in verse 1 it says, now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to Abraham, okay, and he said, here I am. Then he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. Wow. That is the test. To offer his only begotten son. Wow. I mean, that is a real challenge. Would he be able to face and, you know, to take this test and to go through that test? So it's going to be a test concerning how much would he be willing to sacrifice? What are you willing to sacrifice? Are you going to sacrifice your son the most precious thing to him at that point in time. After a while, you recognize that whether how wonderful you may have started with Sarah and so on and so forth, it became a challenge. Okay, after a while, not much said about Sarah and so on and so forth. But you know, his son, Isaac, was the most precious thing to him at that point in time. And he was asked to sacrifice that son. Okay, let's ask the fathers. Would you sacrifice your son or your daughter? I mean, it's tough. Right? Avin, what do you think? Very difficult, right? I mean, maybe he or she is crying in the middle of the night. Okay, not take her, take her. I don't mean at a point in time. Probably not. But you know, it's very tough to do that, right? I mean, wow, just to you know, a newborn son that you love. Wow, that's going to be really, really tough. Would you be willing to sacrifice? Where's Hong Wei? He's not around. Behind, looking after the baby. I mean, would you, Hong Wei? Where are you? No, I just, would you be willing to sacrifice? I mean, that's a real challenge. Right? Yes. Are you saying yes to me or are you saying yes to my question? Yeah, I mean, that is the reality. I mean, for Abraham, after one, waited so long, many, many years, decades, for the son, you know, to come, and now to sacrifice that son whom he loved, would he be able to do that? See, the question is, when you face that test, right, when students go through exams and all, right, what are you looking for? You're looking for success. Can they succeed in the test of life? What kind of faith would you have? Would you have a faith that succeeds in a test of life? That will help you rise above, no matter what that test is, no matter what difficulty you may face, to say that I have a faith that will bring good success. And this was something that God brought to Abraham. Would he give up his son? Would he be able to pass the test? I mean, what does it take? What does it take to succeed? Right? I mean, we all go through many kinds of exams. School exam, driving exams, and all kinds of exams. Tests. What does it take to succeed? What does it take to succeed in a test of life, of God, of Satan? You know what? End of the day, what are we really looking for? And you see, let's look at this. It takes real belief. Correct? Let's look at verse 17 again. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. Concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. Wow. Okay, let's try and figure this out a little bit. There he was, right? He was given a promise. And the promise of a son. Okay? And he saw, he believed. He believed that God is going to bring about to give to him and Sarah. And Sarah was made strong enough to be able to have a son. He believed in that promise. And that part of the promise was fulfilled. And yet at the same time, can he believe? Right? So God will provide, and God provided the Son, and God proved Himself that He did indeed fulfill that part of the promise. So he believed. He believed God, and then at the same time, he also believed. Look at verse 18 again. He says, "Of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called." Now, that is taken from Genesis 21. Okay, put a finger in Hebrews 11. We're just going to flip back and forth a little bit. So, in Genesis 21, we actually see this verse, okay, in verse 12. I'll backtrack a little bit. Genesis 17. Now, in Genesis 17, he talks about how God would bring about blessings upon the nations. So, in verse 4, we read, "As for me," chapter 17, "behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations." Okay? And verse 5, "No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you." Wow. Nations. Okay? 18 verse 17. "And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing, since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him." Okay, so that was something that was reiterated. And then in chapter 21, verse 12. Okay, after Haggai and Ishmael departed, God said to Abraham, "Do not be displeased." Right, in verse 12. "Whatever Sarah has said to you, listen to her voice, for in Isaac your seed shall be called." So this was a promise. Right? Isaac, in Isaac, this son that I've given to you, nations will be blessed. This is the promise. Another part of the promise. I fulfilled one part, I've given you Isaac. The second part, nations will come from him. Can you believe that? Now, I want you to go and sacrifice Isaac. It does seem like a contradiction. What is happening? How come, God, you are saying that by Isaac, right, there will come nations, but then you are telling me to sacrifice Isaac? Then what's going to happen? But Abraham had that faith to believe, to go beyond what is deemed somewhat impossible with this request to sacrifice, or this test. And you know, it was something that he believed in. It was very interesting to see how Abraham was able to see with eyes of faith and to follow after God's plan. "My plan is that you sacrifice Isaac." Okay? And this is the test. And we read in back to Hebrews 11. Okay, keep one finger in Genesis there. Verse 19, concluding. Very interesting. He concluded that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. Now, let me just try and explain that a little bit for you. The word conclude here is a very interesting word. The word conclude, part of the word is where you get the word logic. He concluded, okay, and he used logic, reasoning, right? And he was able to think with faith, to believe. What seemed somewhat impossible at this point in time, that God is able to raise up Isaac. He believes that God would have the power to raise Isaac up, even though he may be dead, or possibly dead. I mean, wow! That is
That is incredible. To be able to know who God is, that He will have that power. So it is, to me, this is faith logic, okay? A lot of times to us, our logic, you know, will come across as, cannot, this one is impossible, how, cannot, this, you know, we think logically, you know, scientific people, they always like to, use logic, use reasoning, philosophy, and so on and so forth. To me, this is what I call spiritual logic, okay? Faith logic. God's kind of logic. And that is, what is impossible, I can do. I can raise Isaac up from the dead. And that is what Abraham believed. And that's what he was able to understand. Okay? And this is, right? And then he goes on to say, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. The word figurative in Greek is where you get the word parable. So this is like an illustration of, an illustration of God's power. To know that, you know, even though it's something that has not happened, it is going to happen. God is going to raise up. God is going to show His power. And this is something that we want to understand. Okay, any question? I hope you're still with me. If you're not with me, you don't know what I'm talking about, please raise questions. Some of you look a bit puzzled. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? Clear? Do you see? Do you understand the logic? Or is no logic? Illogical. Faith is not illogical, okay? Faith, to me, is logical. You have to understand faith logic to conclude what God can do and the belief that He had. And that's something that's really special. Okay? Yesterday or previous week, we learned that is anything too hard for God? Nothing. So that would be part of Abraham's perspective. Is anything too hard for God? He already gave me a son, even though we are well, you know, Sarah and I, well advanced in age. God did the impossible, gave us a son. So that's part of His logical thinking already. That is part of His reasoning. Now God gave me Isaac, and now Isaac is going to be sacrificed, offered up. Can God really, then from him, nations will come about? Well, you know what? My understanding is, somehow, somewhere, God is going to raise up Isaac. Turn with me to Genesis, back to Genesis 22, and you see this reasoning in the way he prepared to sacrifice Isaac. So in Genesis 22, right, he rose up early, prepared, saddled the donkey, then he had two young men with him, verse 3, and then he split the wood for burnt offering, arose, went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. Now, very interesting, okay? And that is, the connotation to the Lord Jesus is very interesting, okay? Because one, this is his only begotten son. Two, it is the third day. Well, we don't read too much into it. I'm just trying to see, it's quite interesting. And Abraham said to the young man, stay here with the donkey, the lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. We will come back to you. Just imagine, he is going to sacrifice Isaac. You know, he doesn't know exactly what's going to happen up there, but he's telling these two young men, both of us, we will come back to you. He didn't say, I will come back to you. He said, Isaac and I will come back to you. His understanding is that I'm going to sacrifice Isaac. Somehow, somewhere, God is going to raise him up. So that's what Hebrews 11 is trying to say. He already had that perspective concerning Isaac. And that to me is really wonderful. And even though Isaac asked, you know, we don't have a sacrificial lamb. Abraham said, God will provide, and indeed he provided. And you know, Abraham sacrificed Isaac, as he really wanted to kill him. And it was only the angel of the Lord that stopped him. And you know, it was really wonderful to see this. Success. Pass 100%. 100 marks. Can you see this? I mean, to me, it's so wonderful. I don't know. I'm very excited telling you about this. Okay, any questions at all? I mean, how do you see this? Can you see with faith logic to understand what it means to really believe rather than not? Okay, I mean, Hong Wei and Jermaine, they are going to face challenges. I mean, Jermaine is going to go to school, back to school. And then to balance up everything, so many things. You know, there's work, there is school, there is the little boy to look after, there's family, all the concerns. You know, can we believe? Can we have the faith to face up to the tests, to the challenges of life? Do we think as what, you know, Abraham, he's thinking? You see, he came to a point where his faith is strong. It's strong enough. He had a faith that is truly matured and strong enough to face up to that test. How strong is your faith? Is your faith strong enough to meet up to those challenges? And you must be strong enough. And you should be strong enough. No matter what kind of test you will face, whether it is to sacrifice time, something, to, you know, learn what it means to stand for the Lord, one thing or another. We will all have to face up to that reality. Okay, one of the ways in which we want to appreciate the faith of Abraham is, let's turn to Romans 4. Maybe that will help you a little bit more as to how do we see this faith of Abraham. And Romans 4 helps us to appreciate Abraham's faith. Okay? Maybe slightly more concrete terms, right? So he didn't have a weak faith. He had a strong, solid, reliable faith. Okay? So in verse 17, we read that he, in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and caused those things which do not exist as though they did. Wow. I like this kind of descriptive, you know, element in how Paul would help us understand the kind of faith that Abraham had. This was his thinking. He believed God. And what about God? God is one who gives life to the dead. I mean, for Sarah and Abraham, they were considered dead, you know, physically, in that sense. They can't have a child. But yet God gave life and caused those things which do not exist as though they did. Call out to something that didn't exist, but yet it is alive. It is good as alive. Good as existing, even though it does not exist. That's his faith. He believed God can create something out of nothing. Okay? Secondly, who contrary to hope, in hope belief. The word contrary here is the word against and beyond. Against hope and beyond hope. Yet, he hoped. Wow. Beyond hope, against hope, yet hope. You know, this is not fat hope kind of thing, you know. I mean, people are like, oh, fat chance, fat hope, you know, kind of thing. No. This is real solid strength of faith being applied. Hope is faith not yet realized. That's one of the definitions of hope. And he had that faith to believe, and that he had that hope. No matter what, I am going to believe and have that hope that what God said and promised will come true. And, you know, to me, that is really wonderful. That's, you know, against all doubts, against all kinds of unbelief, he overcame. Okay, now, look at verse 19. He said, not being weak in faith. I like this word, weak. Basically, it talks about how this word weak is, you know, of course, it's not weak. Now, in the Greek, it's actually a negative. There is an, what we call an alpha privative, and there's this word stenos. Okay? And, yeah, why am I doing this? Okay? And this word stenos is the word strength. Okay? So, when you put an alpha privative, it's to say the opposite. So, it is weakness in its sense. And he's saying that which is not strength, you know, double negative kind of idea. Why do people write double negative? It's to emphasize, to say that actually it is very strong. He's not weak at all. He had that kind of strength of faith to believe. And you know, he was not weak in faith. Okay? And he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was 100 years old. Right? In the deadness of Sarah's womb, he did not waver at the promises, at the promise of God, through unbelief. So he did not waver. Okay? We all tend to waver. But he did not waver at all. Look at Fanny Crosby. No matter what she had to go through in life, she, you know, while the doctor wasn't too good, you know, caused the blindness. You know, she wasn't bitter concerning life. She wrote hymns instead. And her focus is not on this life. Her focus is beyond. To see Christ one day and to write all those hymns that all, so many people all over the world continue to sing and are so greatly blessed. Because of her faith, because of her ministry, you know, she did not waver whatsoever. There was no unbelief. Instead, there is strength of faith. Okay? Now, in verse, right, through unbelief, he did not waver through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith. Now, this word strengthened is the word empowered. You know the verse, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This word strengthen is the word empowered. The idea here, it is an increasing kind of faith. That as I face the challenges of life, there is this increasing faith that I need to face up to these challenges. So, you know, you are going to face up to increasing challenges, testings of life. You know, we need that increasing faith to meet up, to face these challenges, these testings, and to say that, you know, I can succeed. And you can succeed. We all have faith. It's just that we do not grow our faith as we should. We need that kind of strength of faith to believe, to overcome. You know, ministry is never easy. When I face up to challenges, and, you know, of course, this last month, one of the challenges that I had to face was preaching at Shangri-La. It was something that I've never done in my whole life, right? 20 years of ministry. Part of my logical thinking concerning ministry is pastor is always the one that will preach. You think it's easier to go up there and preach? To go up there and chair? You think that is easy? Moses, do you think it was easy the last time you went up there? Right, you prayed like crazy, right? That's what I did. I prayed like crazy the week before. You know, it's really being able to say, Lord, you got to help me. You got to help me understand what it means to go up there and preach the Lord's word. You know, that was my challenge. And yet at the same time, it wasn't something that, you know, oh, I cannot. Pastor, please come back. You know, you must take it. No, I mean, I'll face up to that challenge. Whatever challenges God has given to me. Just last week, somebody came up to me, you know, Pastor Mark, I've been asked to serve in this area. What do you think? I say, well, you know, take time, think about it, go back to read the Lord's word, but, you know, rise up to that challenge. When you are called to serve, rise up. Rise up to that challenge to serve the Lord. And oftentimes, we all tend to, you know, sometimes opportunities are given to us and we tend to think, oh, cannot, I, you know, rather not. You know, to me, you're you know, you're wavering, you know. This, to me, what is wavering? The word wavering here is the word, the translation is to be judged, you know, to and fro, you know, true and true. So you are one hand here, one hand, you know, the other hand, you know, thinking one way or another. You don't focus. Learn what it means to be focused. Learn what it means to rise up to that challenge. I learn what it means to rise up to whatever challenge God has given to me. Whether physically, whether it's ministry, whether there are different things that, you know, and then finally he was, verse 21, being fully convinced that God was able to fulfill what he had promised. Fully convinced, absolutely sure, certain about your faith. You know, that's something that we all need to learn. Not doubting all the time. You know, we all will go through struggles. Sure, understandably. But can we believe? Can we really believe that God will help us through whatever circumstances we go through? Can we believe that God will help us through that test, that storm of life? Can we believe? I know that work can be a challenge. Sure, definitely. You have difficult bosses, you have difficult colleagues, you have work that is difficult. Everything is difficult. Nobody says work is easy. It's challenging. Well, unless you are working in church. Churches. We got good boss, good colleagues. If you say that you have bad colleagues, you're talking about me, you know. No lah. Just kidding. Right? But work can be difficult also. Work can be challenging. It is challenging. Ministry can be challenging. But you know, to rise up. Now, you know, some of the Hindi teachers, they have to go and study at the same time. Right? Learn what it means to rise up to that challenge. Yes, less sleep. You know, Hong Wei asked me, you know, Pastor Mark, wow, I got this. You know, and as he said, you know, I struggle. And, you know, there's just no time for me to look at really growing my faith. How to find time? I told him, Hong Wei, learn to find time. Less sleep. That's what I learned. Less sleep. You find the time. You rise up early so that you can take time to be with the Lord. Because you're going to need all that strength of faith to face up to that challenge. Without the Word of God, you cannot face up to the test of life. You want to find strength of faith, you look to the Word of God. And I'm glad. Each week he will write to me, and I will interact along the way. Faith. Word of God. To me, this is what it means to go through a test of life, and how to succeed. Abraham was able to succeed. All of us can also succeed, no matter what tests we will go through in life. Whether it's your job, whether the circumstances in your life, we don't want to end up wavering at the promises of God. We want to find ourselves strengthened in faith. And you know, ultimately, you will be able to give glory to God. Look at that. Right? but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. That's what we want to do. You succeed. You do well. We can give glory to God. But if we go through the test of life and, you know, we give up, we think otherwise, we are unable to overcome, then how are we going to give glory to God? We can't. You will never know when God will bring about that test. For me, it's, you know, physical test, and that is my gastric. I had to learn to overcome this test of life. Once in a while, God knows, you know, He brings a thorn in the flesh into my life. It's painful at times, it's difficult at times, but you know, I learn what it means to rely on the grace of God. And to me, I find strength in, you know, in His Word, to have the kind of faith to believe that God will watch over me. And, you know, just to be able to know that He will be with me each step of the way. You can too. You can succeed. Okay, as you go into your groups, I hope that you will take time to discuss how can we really find this faith that Abraham displayed, and to really to be able to rise up and to face no matter what test. Right? Wei Hui, she's going to give birth very soon. It's going to be painful, challenging. Actually, not really. You'll be on epidural and things like that. And but, you know, well, life is going to change. Right, Yang Cho? No more cool and collected as cold porridge, but it's going to be a panic here and there. Right? Well, another test of life. All of us will go through tests of life. Okay? Alright, let's pray together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we want to pray and thank You that we can learn once again from the example of Abraham, how he really was able to apply his faith, to find a strength of faith, maturity of faith, to overcome the tests of life that God gave to him. We recognize that there are many tests along the way of life. We pray that You will help us to grow our faith, to strengthen our faith, to mature our faith, that we may be able to meet up to these challenges and to succeed in this test of life. Pray that You will bless our time even as we fellowship over in our discussion group. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, Eugene's group is... You can join me once again. He's still away. But the rest of you can go into your groups.